You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
All right, so you know what? We're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into this. So let's go to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1, and we're just going to start where we left off a little bit last service on Wednesday and see where we go from there. All right, so Romans chapter 4 and verse number 1 is good. So it says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? It says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? It says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So he says, let's keep reading. Verse number 5, but to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So looking at verse number 1 again, what we were saying, and we went through this on Wednesday, is what did Abraham find according to the flesh, right? What did he find according to the flesh? And it says that about his flesh, right? Not about, obviously not talking about sin, right? But talking about flesh. What did he find according to his flesh? It says that he found that that is Abraham, it says he was not justified, he said, by works, but he was justified by faith. So what he's saying is that what he found according to this flesh is that his flesh couldn't justify him, right? That's what he found according to his flesh, right? That his flesh couldn't justify him. But then it says, and he says that he, and what we separated out two things, and it's really where what we want to see today. In verse number 4, look at what he says. It says, now to him that works, he says, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So he's saying there that to a person that works, their reward is not grace from God, but to a person that works, the reward that they receive is because of debt. Anyone that works, right, we said puts someone in debt and therefore receives from that indebtedness, right? But it says to him that works not, and here's the cool thing. If you look at verse number 4, it says, is it not reckoned of grace? So it says it's not of grace, but of debt. And grace, obviously, we know that it's that which we receive that, obviously, see, like it can't be even better put in verse number 5, that we didn't work for. So we didn't work for it, but yet we receive it from God, right? Now verse number 5 says, but to him that works not, it says, but believeth on him. Now look at what he says, that justifies the ungodly. So that's grace, right? If the ungodly is justified, right, then that's grace, because obviously ungodly people should not be justified, right? So if ungodly people should be guilty, not justified before God, their ungodliness is their sin, right? So because our ungodliness was our sin, what we actually really deserved was condemnation, not justification. So he says there that, so then that's the example of grace that he's given, is that to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now here's a cool thing that you'll see, and sometimes it's a little bit beneath the surface. It's not in plain view. But one thing that we know, that we've learned before, is, and Romans says that grace reigns in righteousness. So in other words, if you think about it this way, grace has its way or functions freely in the righteousness that we have, which is of Christ, right? Because if we're righteous, that means we've been qualified to receive receive. If we're righteous, we've been made sons, so we're qualified to receive. So we know that grace functions then freely, or grace reigns in righteousness. So it's interesting that righteousness, right? We know that we were saved by grace through faith. Now you can say, well, there's no mention of righteousness there. We're saved by grace through faith, and where's righteousness? Well, it's called the righteousness of what? The righteousness of faith is what righteousness is called, right? The righteousness of faith. So righteousness is a faith, right? And grace reigns in righteousness, right? So righteousness is still, right, is still our qualification. It's still what has given us entrance into the things of God that allows us to be partakers because we were made righteous. But that in and of itself, that righteousness is in and of itself. That justification of the ungodly is only by the grace of God. Now here's the cool thing, and here's where we're going then. If we can separate out again like we did on Wednesday, where you separate out and you say, okay, if it is of the flesh, right? If it is of the flesh, then it is of works, right? And if it's of the Spirit, it's of the grace of God. And we said, right, the Spirit of God only functions in grace, right? And how do we know that? Because the Spirit of God, what, cannot be indebted. So the Spirit of God does nothing in our lives because God owes us something. Instead, the Spirit of God works in our lives because of what Christ has done in our lives. And so then He works freely, right? So here's something to look at then. So if you separate those two things, and listen, if you can, and you know what, I just remembered we were supposed to pray this. So let's just pray it in a second. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You, Lord. Thank You, my Lord. Thank You, Lord, that our ears, Lord, are turned to You. Father, we don't want to hear silly things going in and out of our minds. We don't want our eyes and our hearts, right? The eyes, our mind's eye, Lord, to be distracted by things that are trying, Lord, to manipulate our thoughts. But we thank You, my Father, that by Your Spirit, Lord, we are free from the things of this world, free, my Lord, from the distractions of this world, free and not obligated to anything, only, Lord, obligated and slaves of just righteousness, Lord. So therefore, we thank You, Lord, that we're able, well able, Lord, just to fix our hearts because we're free to do that. So we fix our hearts, Lord Jesus, on You, and we tune our ears to Your Spirit, my God, the only way that we can hear. And we say, Lord, the way we confess, Lord, that Your Word, Lord, is the seed. Father, but it is not the written Word that it is the seed, but it is Your Word that proceeds out of Your mouth that does not return unto You void. It is that Word, Lord. It is that Word, Father. And that Word was written down. But my Father, without You speaking that Word to us, without us hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, my God, it's just words on a page. But we thank You, Lord, that our hearts and our ears, Lord, are tuned, Lord, to your voice, because we are Your sheep. Because we are Your sheep and we can know. It's been given to us to know. So we thank You for that, Father, and we're able, Lord, to hear. And we thank You, my Father, that by the time this service is done, we would have heard from You. We would have understood. We would have grown in Christ. And we just thank You for that. And we give You all the bitter praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So good. So separating those two things out, that's critical to where we're going, right? That if it is of the flesh, then it is of work, right? And if it is not of work, it is by the Spirit then, therefore it is grace, right? To him that works not, it is of grace, right? To him that works not, it is of the Spirit. To him that works not, it is of grace. So let's look at something, and this is a cool thing. It's in Matthew 11:11. Matthew 11:11, and listen to what this says. I don't know if you've ever read this before. This is, you know what I love, and I've said it 100 times. I love the way the Lord builds. I just love the way He builds, because you read something that you never understood before, and the reason why you never understood it is because you never learned what you had to learn before it. And now that you know that, now you can know this. So He says, "Verily I say unto you," Jesus said, "among them that are what born of women." Right? It's good if you've been hearing, right? And you read this, always read. See, you don't read in the morning to read a verse. You read in the morning to be continually established without forgetting what the Lord has been speaking to you. Not what you've been reading in the Bible, what the Lord has been speaking to you, right? Because without the Lord speaking to us, we're just reading in vain, right? So we're hearing and we know. So he said among those born of women, Right? Among those, does that jog your memory at all about the things that the Lord has been saying, right? About being born of women, right? You know what that is? Born of men. Right? Because obviously men don't have babies. So when you hear that someone is either born of the flesh or born of the will of a man, that is the same thing as saying born of a woman. Right? Born of a woman. In other words, John the Baptist was born. So look what it says. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there have not risen a greater than John the Baptist. So what it's saying that as all of the men that were born have ever been born by the will of men, right? The greatest among all of those men is John the Baptist. This, right? Now watch this. Notwithstanding though, he that is least in where? In the kingdom of heaven. Who is in the kingdom of heaven? How do you have to be born to be part of the kingdom of heaven? You have to be born of what? Are you born of men to be in the kingdom of heaven? You are born of the Spirit to be in the kingdom of heaven. So he says that that one that is least in the kingdom of heaven, right? Least, and you know what that is? That's least in the kingdom of heaven is a person that has faith in Jesus Christ and saves and loves the Lord, but does nothing with the presence of God, just is oblivious to so much, doesn't take advantage of anything in the kingdom, but yet is saves and loves the Lord, right? We can say that person is least, but he says that him which is least in the kingdom of heaven, because to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be what? A servant of all, right? So a person who is least in the kingdom is a person that does nothing for nobody, right? Why? Because of ignorance of what they have, ignorance of who they are, but they are still part of the kingdom, right? Because they believe and have faith in Jesus. So it says that him that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Him that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. So listen to how cool this is, right? Because in light of everything, and you see, just it's just beautiful how he does it, right? So here's what you know. That just cements the fact even more, right? Anything that is born of the flesh is inferior to that which is born of the Spirit. Everything you can do and work with your flesh is always inferior always to him who is born of the Spirit, right? Always inferior. The things, and we're going to get into something cool called the perfect will of God, right? But here's what we're saying is, the things that you do for someone else through the flesh, and the things that you do that are done through you for someone else, one is always superior to the other. One is always superior to the other. And that's why we've been encouraged to say, right, that if we already live by the Spirit, in other words, if you've been given life by the Spirit of God, then let us walk then by the Spirit. In other words, just carry out yourself while you are on this earth. Carry out yourself that way by the Spirit. Why? Because here's the cool thing. But see, when we talk about that and we say, and let's just read the verse because it's good just to see it. It's good just to see it. John 3:6. And it's just one quick verse, so maybe we'll just read it up here. But look at what he says in John 3:6. Look what it says. That which is born of the flesh, or born of a woman, or born of the will of men. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Right? So that which is born of the will of men, right, is just the... Listen, this is so good if you get this, right? And it's so good that you don't have to rely on yourself, but the Spirit of God is going to show it to you, just like He shows us anything else. But here's the cool thing. So that which is born of the will of men is what? The will of men. Listen to that. That which is born of the will of men is the will of men. What is it that we have heard through our entire Christian life? That to not be in the center of God's will means you don't get blessed. And that's a bunch of hogwash anyway. But and that's exactly what it is. The stuff that pigs take a bath in, right? Hogwash. So because look at what he's saying. That which is of the will of men is just the will of men. So if we want to know what is it like to function or live not in the will of men, what is that? It is to work and live in the flesh. In other words, if you were to ask the Lord and you say, Lord, is it not a problem with you that I just do things by the flesh? Right? A simple answer to that is the Lord would say, that's not my will for you. My will for you is not that I put my Spirit in you and that you live then by your flesh. That's not the will of God. But here's the beautiful thing. How do you know? Listen, because people people have written volumes of books trying to convince people how to get into the will of God, how to be in the will of God, how do you know when you're in the will of God, and the will of God becomes this thing that it basically means that if you're good, you're in the will of God, if you're bad, you're not in the will of God. But look at what it is, because it's so simple. It's that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So, born, right? That which is born, that which is birthed, right? So here's a spiritual reality. We were born of the Spirit. So you know what that means? That means that spiritually speaking, right? Spiritually speaking, we are in the will of God. Right? We've been placed into the will of God. Right? We've been placed. So let your heart see that, right? That you have been placed in the will of God already. Just like what? Just like you've been made righteous, right? But even though you have been made righteous, you don't think nor function all the time in the righteousness that has been given to you. But you're still righteous, right? So you are in the will of God. But here's what it is. Here's what it is. All the Lord wants to do, and even in those words, wants to do, that means that that's what? That's His will, right? So here's what we're saying. That which is of the flesh is of the will of men, right? So we were born, the Bible says, listen to what the Word of God says. We were born not of the will of men, but of the will of God. What were you born of? Of His will. We're going to come back to where we are right here. But watch this now. You were born again by the will of God. That means that God made His will come to pass in your life when you were a sinner just because of what you heard. The will of God was done in your life. You were born of the will of God, right? God desires that none should perish and that all would come into eternal life. So the gospel was preached to you, and by the word of God, you were born again. That's the will of God, right? That you would be born again, and you were. So if we can step into the will of God, right, while we were yet sinners, how difficult is it for us to enter into the will of God and for the will of God to be done through us, right? Right? When we are saved, how much more us now? But what is it then that we're missing? What, this whole thing about the will of God, what is it? But you know, just put it simply, right? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit. That which is of the will of men is the will of men. That which is born of the will of God is the will of God. So here's where we're coming to. Here's where we're coming to. That for the will of God to be done in your life, for the will of God to be done in your life, when you were born again, all that you needed to do was put your faith in Jesus, right? And the will of God was done in your life, and you, if you were saved. Is there really anything else for the will of God to continually be born? For the will of God to be born, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So things can be birthed, right, in your life through your flesh. Things can be born. You can manifest things in your life, right, just through your flesh. Right? You can bring things to pass. Things can be seen. Things can be done by just doing them through the flesh, right? But the cool thing is, but everything that is born of the Spirit is the will of God. So here's what we're saying. If only the Holy Spirit can do the will of God. You can't do the will of God. Right? You can't do the will of God. Only the Spirit of God in you can do the will of God. Only He knows, He's the only one that knows the will of God, right? So only He can bring the will of God to pass. Why? Because the will of God is of the Spirit, right? And so that which is born of the will of men is men, right? Is the will of men. That which is born of the will of God is the will of God. So that which only the Spirit can produce Spirit. Men cannot produce Spirit, right? Only God can produce Spirit, right? So that means that only the Spirit of God can bring to pass the will of God. So here's where we're coming to, right? Here's what we're coming to. And let me show you this here. Let me show you this. Let's go back where we were in Matthew. Let's go to John 1:12. Let's do that. John 1:12. John 1:12, right? No worries, right? If things are still lingering in little pieces, they're going to come all together. He's going to sew them all up. John 1:12, look at what it says. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, right? He gave us, look at it again. Verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even them that did what? That believed on his name. Even them that put their faith in Jesus Christ. Watch this. Which, and those that put their faith in Jesus Christ, what does it say? They are born not of blood. So here's what you have to understand. Faith is not of the flesh. Faith is not of this world. Faith is not of men. Faith is not of men. So whenever you function in faith, you are functioning in that which is of the Spirit. And we'll get to that. But here's why. Because what you're putting your faith in is Spirit. Right? And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So look at what he says. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of men. You were born again not of the will of men. Nor of the will of man, it says, but of God. You were born of the will of God. You were born again of the will of God. You were born again of the will of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, it's such a cool thing, because what we'll see, you'll see it cemented over and over again. But He says, and that's why we're going right now anyway, so we might as well. We might as well. My gosh, there's so much I want to say in such a little bit of time. 1 John, look at 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. So let's bring our minds back to John, right? So the Lord said, He said that among those men that are born of the will of men, John is the greatest, right? Among those, and remember, because John was not born again, right? John was filled with the Spirit, it says, from his mother's womb, but he was not born again, right? You can't be born again prior to Jesus going to the cross, right? So the Spirit of God was with that man, but he was not born again, right? So you know something that was just swimming around my mind a little bit is how the Lord says, he was saying to the disciples, and he was saying, you know, does this astonish you, these works that you're seeing? Because even greater works than these, he says, will you do? He says, because I go to the Father, even greater works than I do, he says, will you do? Even greater works, right? But here's what we always know, and here's what every Christian has always known, that we can't do greater works than Jesus. Right? You can't do it. You can't. There is nothing that you can do. We've always known that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is Spirit. I can't do greater things than Jesus did. But the Spirit of God in me can bring that will which is of the Father for those works, and those, and him that is healed, and him that needs to be able to walk again, and him that is blind, and he that is poor. All of those things are the will of God. We know that. We know a lot of things that are the will of God, and that he wants and desires to happen, but only the Spirit of God can do that. And that's why every gift, including the gift of healing, the gift of faith, the gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, every single gift that we have is as the Spirit what? Wills. As the Spirit, but that's so important, right? As the Spirit what? As the Spirit wills. So what, when the, and I know you know this already, but when the Spirit wills, what, whose will is he bringing to pass? If the Spirit wills and he does something, then who's doing that? Right? God is doing that, right? In other words, that is the will of God coming to pass in your life. So listen to that, right? So every gift, everything that is supernatural, that is not of men, that is done in this world, cannot be done by men. And every man knows that. That no man can do what Jesus did. No man can do anything in and of itself. Because why? Because all that flesh can produce is what? Flesh. All that the will of men can produce is what? All that men can produce is the will of men. But the Spirit can produce the will of the Spirit. The will of God, right? And grace functions because he's called the Spirit of grace, right? Grace functions because that's what God, that's what the Spirit functions in, is in grace, because God gives what is not deserving. God justifies the ungodly, right? God gives what is not deserving. So here's the cool thing. So because men know that they can't produce that, right? Then look at what it says here in 1 John 4:4. It says, you are of God. So right there, he just takes you and sets you over here, right? Because when he says you're of God, that means that there's someone who ain't, right? You are of God. You are of God. And that of is a big word, because that means born, right? When you are of God, so what he's saying is, you are born of me. And it just messes me up just because I hear him saying it to me, right? You were born of me. In other words, I birthed you into this world, right? And what if God says you are born of me, God is a what? God doesn't have a spirit, but God is what? A spirit, right? And spirit, right, gives birth to what? Spirit, right? Spirit gives birth to spirit. So when he's saying you are of God, that means that what he has birthed in us, right, is the Bible says that he's made our spirit alive, right? Why? Because the Lord didn't do nothing to your flesh. He did it to your spirit, right? So he birthed his spirit into you, right? And you have that unity now with the spirit of God. So what he did was spiritual. And what he did was he brought his will to pass in your life. And he says, you are of God, little children. But look at what he says. And have overcome them because greater. The one that is least in the kingdom, in other words, the one that is least in the kingdom of God, which are those that are born of God, are greater than John the Baptist. Greater than the greatest man that was born of a woman, the one least that was born of God is greater than him. Right? Because John the Baptist was not born of God. Right? Even, can I tell you something? Even after John was in prison, he baptized Jesus. He did all of these things, right? And when he was in prison, you know what he sent? He sent messengers to Jesus. And you know what the message was? The message was this. Here's what he asked him. He says, are you the one or should we look for another? Right? Are you the one? This was after already. He had already baptized him. He had already said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. But he was doubting even who Jesus was as he was in jail. He was not born again, right? You can't be born again and doubting whether he's the Messiah. Right? So that's obvious. That's obvious. But what the Bible is saying, because people look at that and say, wow, John the Baptist, all of the things that he did, how can I be greater? You're not. Right? He who is in you is greater than he that's born in the world. He who is in you is great. You are of God. You are of God. He said, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? But what he's answering there is the whole thing. You are of God and have overcome. So he's not just saying, you've overcome because I'm greater. He said, because I'm greater, right, is why you were born of me and have overcome. It's both things that he's answering, right? So look at what he's saying. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. We are of God. We are born of God. We are born of the Spirit. Therefore, that which is of the Spirit is Spirit, right? He says, we are of God, and he that knoweth, it says, God hears us, and he that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let's go from here quickly, because I think now we're gaining speed now. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 23. Let's look at that real quick. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 23. So it says, in verse number 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but, and it's interesting, right? Because doesn't he say, right there it says we were born again, not of a corruptible seed. But we just got done reading that we were born of the Spirit. So was I born of the Spirit, or was I born of a seed, or so what is it? How was I born? But look at what he says. He says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is what? The Word of God, by the Word of God, right? So this is going somewhere. There's three things going on, right? There's one thing that the Lord is showing us about separating out that which is the will of men and the will of God. And then there's another thing going on about understanding how you were born, right? How you were born into the kingdom. Because if you understand how you were born into the kingdom, you will understand why you are stayed in the kingdom, and you will understand how you function in the kingdom. So all this will come together. So being born again, it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. What lives and abides forever? The Word of God, right? The Word of God, right? Look at what, you know what you do when you're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying. You know what you do? Don't listen for sentences to make sense to you. Hear words. Hear words, right? Hear words. Hear each word and say, you know what, Lord, you're showing me there are things that are important in what you're saying to me. When men hear stuff, they're looking for sentences to make sense, right? Just hear the things that he's saying, right? Here, when you hear key words like that, you'll see it. You'll see it. So he says, being born again, verse number 23, being born again, right, into the kingdom, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever, for all flesh is as grass. Now, he's talking about us being born again, but he says all flesh is like grass. He's not saying you're like grass, because you were not born of the will of the flesh. You were not born of the will of men. He's saying that you were born again, but he says all flesh is like grass. So all that he's bringing back again is the same comparison of that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Here's another truth that we've been going over, that we've been rehearsing, right? That which is of the spirit is eternal. That which is of the flesh is what? Temporal, carnal, and of this world, right? So that's why he says that which is born of the Spirit, right, by the Word of God, he said, lives and abides forever. Right? Everything that comes by the Spirit. But here's what's interesting. You see how in the background what the Lord is doing in your mind, right? He's saying that you were born of an incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. Which is the Word of God that lives and abides forever. But you already know lingering there, it's already been revealed to you that you were born of the Spirit. So when you say, okay, put them together, and you say, Lord, Word of God and Spirit. You know what you understand right away, right? That the Word of God, we started the service saying like that. The Word of God on the page is nothing. Unless it's what? Unless it's revealed, unless it's shown, unless it's taught to you by the Spirit of God. So when you were born by the Spirit, right? The reason why you were born of the Spirit is not because God willed it. And he just gave you his Spirit. Something happened, because there was something that happened before that. You weren't just a sinner, and God looked at you and he said, you know what, I'm going to give you my Spirit. And he gave it to you and you were born again. Why did you receive his Spirit that you were born of the Spirit? Something is missing. You follow what I'm saying? Something is missing. What made qualified you to receive the Spirit? Because if you weren't just born again just of the Spirit, right? Where he just gave you his Spirit and that's it. Why did he give you his Spirit? What qualified you, right? And what we said it was righteousness. And what qualified you to be righteous was faith. But faith in what? Faith in the spoken Word of God. Faith in Jesus through the gospel, which the Spirit of God revealed to you. So here's something cool. So he says, for all flesh is like grass. He says, and all the glory, and it's so cool the way he's saying this, and all the glory of man, all the glory of man, all the work of the flesh, he says, all the work of the flesh, the glory of men, the splendor of man, all that men can produce, he says, is as the flower of grass, right? Which also goes, the grass withers, it says, and the flower thereof falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Why does the word of the Lord endure forever? Because the word of the Lord is not this Bible. Bibles, right, and devices and stuff that hold the word of God will be burned. All these things are temporal. He's not talking about our Bible with the bound in leather, right? What he's talking about, the Word of God that endures forever, is the Word of God that he speaks, right? The Word of God that he speaks to you, that you hear, that's revealed unto you, that's where life comes from, right? That's where we understand. That's where we grow. People search the Scriptures forever and with beautiful Bibles and beautiful scrolls, and it doesn't do anything for them, right? But we that hear the voice of God, the voice of God. So let me show you this then. Let me show you this. So he says, endures forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let's show you something here. This is good. We were in 1 Peter, John 6:63. And you know, it's good sometimes to know your destination, right? But you know where it is that we're headed? Here's where we're headed, that in order for the will of God to come to pass in your life, it can only come to pass by the Spirit of God. You can't bring the will of God to pass. Now, this is something good to establish your heart in, right? You can't get in a position that's going to, you can't get in a better position, I should say, than you already are right? To be able to receive the will of God, right? Because you were put into the will of God the day you were born again, right? You were born again by the will of the Father, and God placed you right there and gave you His Spirit. You're already positioned. If the concern of the church, right? The concern that people have is, I want to be in the position. I want to be in the center of the will of God. If they smoke a cigarette and they're over here, they're thinking that they're not in the will of God because they don't know that they're in the right position already. They're looking to get in the right position. And if I can say the right thing and read enough of the Bible and be good and not curse, that they think that positions themselves. But that's the righteousness of men, which is as filthy rags, the Lord says. So you don't have to be positioned for the Word of God, for the will of God. You are already positioned for the will of God, right? So all that needs to happen is that the will of God needs to be born out of you, right? Or just let's put it simply like this. All that has to happen is for the will of God that is already in you, because the Spirit in Him knows the will of the Father, He says. He knows the will of the Father. He knows everything that the Father wants to do, He's already in you. Because, right, that is the Spirit of God in you, right? No one knows a man like the Spirit of a man. Therefore, no one knows the will of God like the Spirit of God, right? So He's on the inside of you. All that we need to do is just let Him do the will of God. And how does that happen? To him that works not, it is of grace. To him that works not. Because every time you try to work, right, you're bringing to pass the will of what? The will of God or the will of men? You're bringing to pass the will of men, the will of flesh, right? But we don't want to bring to pass the will of flesh. Every single Christian alive, right, and we're alive if we have a spirit, they want the will of God to be done. But here's the thing, they want to work to bring His will to pass. But it's because they don't understand that they're already positioned for the will of God. They were born of the will of God. They were born of His will. He willed it that men would be saved, right? And men that accepted the will of God received the Spirit because they accepted the gospel. So you were born again. What was the element that we're saying is missing? Right? The element that is missing is the Word of God, right? You had to be born again first of the Word of God and of the Spirit. You were born again of the Word of God and of the Spirit. You were born again, those two things, right? The Word of God and the Spirit. You put your faith in the Word of God, right? And you were born again by the Spirit of God, right? So, and let's show you why. So look at what it says. And this is awesome. Look at 663, John 663. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, right? Can you do me a favor, Tammy? Can you switch over to New King James real quick just so we can see it? And I know that we can know already what quickeneth means, but I want you to see the word, right? New King James, and then we'll flip right back to King James Version. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that does what? That makes alive. Right? Let's switch back to King James again. But it is the Spirit that quickens. So listen, take that and kind of, just if you see it, and I was just telling Tammy on Wednesday, it just feels sometimes like, you know, like we're pretty tight, like a bolt tight to the ground. And it's just like He keeps tightening him. So to a point where it can't be loosened. He just establishes it and establishes so you know. Look at what He's saying. Only the Spirit can give life. That means that flesh cannot give life. Men cannot give life. The most well-meaning man alive, John the Baptist, with all of his good intentions and listening to the Spirit of God, listening to the Lord, being raised, right? Eating honey and locusts, right? Doing all of the things that he was doing, right? He, by himself, he could not produce life. Right? Elijah could not produce life. Abraham could not. No man fled. So it's good to understand that. Everything that is of the flesh is flesh. Everything that is of the Spirit is Spirit. Look at what he says. It is the Spirit that gives life. So look at your life. Look at your day-to-day activity, right? And say, Lord, what part of my existence, what part of anything that I do I not want your life in it? Right? And if you find a place in your existence that you don't want the life of God in it, then you do that. Right? You do that. That's your job. Right? If you don't want the life of God in any area of your life, you do that. But if you want the life of God in it, you can't do it. And I didn't say that. He said, it is only the Spirit that gives life. Only the Spirit can quicken life. Only the Spirit can give life. And that's why he's called what? He's not only called the Spirit of grace, but he's also called the Spirit of life and peace. Right? Life and peace. So he says, it is the Spirit that gives life. Look at what it says. It's so awesome. The flesh, what does it do? Profits nothing. Nothing. It's nothing. Whatever you do with this thing, it will not profit you. And you know why? Because everyone wants life of God in everything that they do. There is no such thing as a Christian that doesn't want the life of God in their family, doesn't want the life of God in their career, doesn't want the life of God in their friendships, doesn't want the life of God in their health, doesn't want the life of God in the things that they own. You want the life of God in every single solitary thing that you do. And he says the flesh, whenever you use it for that, it can profit nothing. Because it's so cool to understand that flesh is not sin. He's not making a correlation between spirit and sin. He's making a correlation between spirit and flesh. That which is of the flesh, of the will of man, is what? Just the will of man. And that which is born of the Spirit, that is the will of God, right? So he says, so the will of God in you, functioning out through you, right, will give you life. But he says, but the flesh profits nothing. Look at what he says. The words that I speak. He didn't say the words that you read. He says the words that I speak, not the words that you read. Reading the Bible will not profit you anything, because you could read the Bible in the flesh, right? You could read the Bible in the flesh. You could be searching the scriptures because, my God, you see that now? He said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you find what? Life. But who is it that can only give life? Only the Spirit can give life. So you can read your Bible all day long, and you could, you know what you can do? Profit nothing. Why? Because you could be reading it in the flesh. Now, how do you know? How do you know? Watch this. How do you know that you're reading the Bible, right? That you're reading the Bible, and that the Spirit of God is going to reveal and open? Easy, right? Because anytime that you look for Jesus, that's what the Spirit of God does. He reveals Jesus. He works within the confines of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. If we go outside of that, right, we will receive no revelation. You may receive mental assent to certain things and think you're getting an education in scriptural things and in theology, but it is not Christ and it's not by the Spirit of God. So it would profit us nothing. But it's so cool because we've learned differently, right? We learned that when we open up the Bible, we're looking for, because we're saying, Lord, I want to know you more. And because I know you more, Jesus, I know you, Father. So I'm living my life growing in the knowledge of who you are. And as I grow in the knowledge of who you are, your grace, which works in me, right? Paul said that, right? We went over it on Wednesday, many other services before. He says, I labored more abundantly than you all, but not I, the grace of God in me. Where does the grace of God reign? If he labored more abundantly than them all, then he was sure about one thing. He knew of his righteousness. He knew where his righteousness came from. That's why he said, me, I consider myself least among all of the apostles. But, he said, but it's the grace of God in me that labors. So what did he say? He's not putting himself down. He said, in my flesh. What did I do? In my flesh, I persecuted the church. In my flesh, I persecuted the church. I was a wretched man in the flesh. Right? But now, because of Jesus Christ, and he said, here's what he said. He said that it was by the grace of God. Look at what he said. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Listen, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Translate that to what the Lord is showing us. By the will of God, he did it in me. I didn't do it. He made me who I am. He brought his will to pass when I was yet a sinner. So you know what he said? So I learned to live by that will. In my flesh, I know what that produced, he said. Right? I'm the least among these because I persecuted the church in my flesh. But he said, but now I don't function by the flesh. That's why I don't persecute the church. That's why there's no competition in me. That's why I'm not trying to beat out the apostles. That's why I can live and minister, and it's just the grace of God doing it through me. Why? Because he's just living by the will of God. How do you live by the will of God? The same. Listen, how do you live by the will of God? The same way you were born again. You know what you were born of? An incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And then what? And then you received His Spirit. Let me show you that in a different verse now. You know what I need to do? I need to show you something and then come back to verse 63. Let's do that. John 3:5. Look at what he said. And I don't know if this is something also that you looked at before and you were like, okay, what does that mean, right? Jesus, sorry. Can you go way up? Go way up to one. Let's look at this together. Look how cool this is. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto Jesus in the night and said unto him, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles unless he was sent by God. Right in verse number 3, he says, Jesus answered him and said unto him, he's talking about, you know, he hasn't even asked a question yet. He just said, you know, you must be from God. So look at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see. So that rings another over here, right? Because the Lord has been teaching us about blindness and seeing, and that which is of the light you can see, and the darkness is blind. So in order for you to see, you have to be born of God. So that's the Lord, right? That's the Lord bringing to pass His will in you. Only the Spirit can make you see. Because only the Spirit is called the door opener, the doorkeeper. Only He's the one that opens. Only He's the one that reveals. So here's what He says. Only that way can you see the kingdom of God, if you're born again. Nicodemus said unto Him, he said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He didn't say born of the flesh. If he was talking about the flesh, then Nicodemus would be right. But he's not making that elaborate explanation to him, because Nicodemus is not a man that's looking for Jesus, right? Nicodemus is just a man that wants to get an education. So he's not seeing and he's not gonna see, right? But here's the thing. So Jesus doesn't tell him that that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. But that's what he's teaching, right? That only a man born again of what? Of the Spirit can see. Only a man that is born again of the Spirit can see. So you know what? Here's the beautiful thing. The Lord for years has been teaching us about rest, right? But here's the thing. The very basic thing of Christianity was just to understand the Word of God. Men can't do that. Just basic stuff. Like you know, when people talk to you about things and they're trying to put down and cast down the things that God has been teaching you so that you can pick up their dumb ways of thinking, right? But here's the thing. They have a big problem with rest and they want to do it, but they can't understand the Word of God. So even the most basic things of Christianity they cannot do. They can search scriptures and they can get a lot of knowledge about the Israel nation and a whole bunch of history, but they cannot see Christ. The only way to see Christ is to have Him revealed to you, because He said that Himself. Nobody knows my Father and nobody knows me. I know my Father and He knows me. And the only way you're going to know Him is if I show you me, so in you seeing me, you can see Him. And that's the only way that you'll ever know, right? So he said here, so he said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, it says, except a man be born of what? Water. Except a man be born of water, right? Unless a man be born of water. So here's what you do. We always understand scripture because of the things that we've learned, right? Have you ever learned that if you take a bath, that will help you? So it's not that kind of water. So if it's not that kind of water, what kind of water is? Well, you know that before you have seen that the Spirit of God is spoken of as a fountain. But that's not referring to Him, because He's the second one. He says, must be born of the water and of the and. So it's not talking about the Spirit. Right? So here's what we know. So because we know that the Lord has been teaching us, right? He doesn't just put His Spirit in you, but you have to have faith, right? Right? You're born by grace, right? His Spirit through what? Faith. We know that. Ephesians chapter 2, right? You're born by grace through faith. So a man has to be born again. He must be born of water and of the Spirit. And here's what you learn. He says husbands, love your wives like Christ loves the church and gave Himself for her, right? And He says, and washed her by the washing of water, by the Word of God. The washing of water. What is it that the Lord was doing several days ago? This, right? Wash. Clean. Right? Clean. Washing feet, right? What is that? What is the washing of feet? What is the washing of your eyes? What is the cleansing of this so that you can see? What is that? That's called what? That's called washing of water by the word. Washing of water by the word. So what is he saying here? You have to be born of water. That means you have to what? You have to be first have faith in the word of God, and then you will be born of the Spirit also. God will send his Spirit and will come and dwell in you, and you will be born of the Spirit. But first, you have to understand. We understood first, and we were washed. And Jesus said in John 15, you are already clean because of the what that I have given you? Because of the word that I have given you. You are already clean because of the what? Because of the word. So what is the water? And what is the washing, right? By the word of God. So here's the cool thing. In order, what does that do to establish us in getting into the will of God? Which is what the Lord wants to talk to us about, right? Being in the will of God. Well, how were you born again? You were born again of the water, right? You were born again of the water and of the Spirit, right? So how does the will of God, if you were born again, your spirit was born again, right? By the Word and by the Spirit. So can I tell you something? It is absolutely no different the way you live. How does the Spirit continue to birth things through you? What has He been doing? Hasn't been doing this about being born? The Lord has been talking about us about the fruit of the Spirit and fruit being born and being fruitful for years, right? For years. And what does He continue to say is the only way? Only through my Word. But where is the pencil getting sharpened a little bit more? It's not just reading. Right? It's not just reading. It's my word. In Isaiah, he says, my word that proceeds out of my mouth will not return unto me void. So the word that he's talking about is the word that comes out of his mouth, right? That the Spirit of God speaks to you. That's the word that he's talking about. Not the word you read, but the word that he speaks to you. So it is critically more important, right? To hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church than to see what verse is next on your calendar for you to read in your 1 year Bible, right? It's more important. It's more important. And reading through the Bible is awesome, right? But I would rather not be distracted with that and allow myself to be where the Lord wants me reading and hearing what the Lord wants me to hear, right? And we may think that that's difficult to understand where in the Bible the Lord wants you to read, but can I tell you something? Just simply through prayer and fixing your heart on Him, the Lord will speak to you and you will know. You know exactly what the Lord has been speaking for the last 3 weeks, right? You hear the things that have been going around. You talk about things as being in common. Oh, and you prayed about that, and I was just thinking about that. And you talk about all these things that are not coincidental, right? That there are things that the Lord has been saying that are constant things. I wonder where we should have our minds, right? Exactly in what He's been saying. Constantly and establishing that and praying about that and thinking about that. And you know what happens? You'll be over in Matthew 11:11, or you'll be listening to someone, and you know what you'll hear? You're not hearing what they're saying. Right? I was just minding my own business listening to a message that Andrew Womack was preaching. All I know is that as I was just listening to him and I was eating and just, you know, just spending a little time, right, eating and just hanging out, and I heard born of a woman. And that born of a woman is like somebody took a brick and went like this. Boom! And hit me right in the head with it. Why? Because he's been saying that, right? Born of men, born of the flesh. I said, born of a woman. Like almost like I wanted to rewind and say it again. So what do? You shut it off. You go pick up your Bible and you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not what Andrew Womack is saying, right? What the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So you stay there and you stay there. You stay there until you feel that He's let that go. And you know how you know He let it go? Because He brings you onto something else, right? Because He brings you onto something else. But it's good to hear. Look at what He's saying. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the will of man is the will of man. That which is born of the will of God is the will of God. You're already positioned perfectly for God to do His full will through you. What's the only other thing that we have to do? Stop working. Because if you work, right, all that we're going to produce is the will of men. But if we rest in the way He's been teaching us, and how do you rest? If you go back to Hebrews, never forget, right? Hebrews 3 and 4, He's been teaching about His rest forever. The only thing that prevented the will of God from being done in the life of the people of Israel was what? Unbelief. That was it. Nothing else was preventing them from entering into their land of Canaan, into their land of promise, except what? Unbelief. And what does unbelief come from? From not hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, not putting their faith in Jesus. And faith, we can't forget that either, right? We've been taught for years that faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Not reading the Bible, right? Hearing the Word of God. That's a different thing, right? That's a different thing. Because people think faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So the more of my Bible that I read, the more faith will come. But that's not true. Because you can search the Scriptures forever because you think that in them you find life. In them. But God said, only my Spirit gives life. Not the Bible you read, my Spirit gives life. So when you hear what the Spirit is saying, you can receive life. Right? Why? Because the will of God will come to pass. He will make you fruitful. That's why, can I say, look at the most basic things of Christianity and how they just tie up so nicely. He says it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love. Love, right? Basic of Christianity, love. Well, you can't love your enemy. You can't love your enemy because you can't even understand the Word of God, right? You can't love your enemy. Who can love your enemy, right? The Spirit of God in you can love your enemy. Because why? Because that's His fruit. So how does that, so you see where it comes back to? We can end right there with that verse. That's what the whole thing is. And I'm going to close this up because that's an awesome place to end right there. Romans, right? 10:17. That's a great place to end right there. Romans 10:17. Look at how beautiful that is. It says, so then faith, it says, comes by hearing. And you know what? We don't need the italicized words in there because we already know. Look at what it says. So then faith by hearing. Faith by hearing. Faith by hearing. And hearing, you see how cool that is? He segments two things. He says faith by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? So it's so cool that what you see is that when you hear what God is saying, when you hear what God is saying, right? When you hear what God is saying, that faith comes there, right? Faith is in hearing. That's where faith from Jesus. You know, it's so cool. Only we're saying that when you open up your Bible, you're looking for Jesus, right? And He just said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, right? Hearing the Word of God. So what is it that you're hearing? Because in order for you to end with faith in Jesus, it just can't be hearing anything in Scripture, right? It has to be hearing all Scripture, giving a revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the only thing that the Spirit of God does, right? So if the Spirit of God, if what He's doing is revealing Christ to you, if that's what you're hearing, if you're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, then you're hearing the truth about Jesus, right? If you're hearing what the Spirit of God is saying, He's revealing Jesus Christ to you. And if you hear the revelation of Jesus Christ, you will have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the spoken Word of God. The spoken, the Word that's breathed by Him. What He says, and even more specific, what He's saying, right? What He is saying is where your faith will come from. Because you can't make God say what you want to hear. That's an important thing. You can pray all day till your tongue falls off, and God doesn't just talk to you about anything. God doesn't just, listen, you can come like Nicodemus, and you can come to Him, and you can say, you are the greatest among all teachers, and you must be sent by God. And you know what He says? You have to be born by the Spirit. How many times do you see in the Bible that men come to Jesus with one thing, and He tells them another? Because what does Jesus speak? He only spoke what He receives from the Father. It doesn't matter what you're asking Him. He knows what you need to hear. You can come to Jesus and say, you know what, you were the one that fed us with bread. We want more. And what does He say? He corrects their heart because it's not about bread. We come to God for a multiplicity of things. And He says what you're coming for is not what you need. So what does He speak to you? The Word of God. He speaks to you what you need to hear, right? So when you hear what God is saying, not what we want to hear. And that's the thing about that it's good to be able to pray in the Spirit, right? Because the Bible says that when you don't know how to pray as you ought to pray, then pray in the Spirit. Why? Because we pray all kinds of weird stuff. And when you pray weird things, you're looking for an answer to that prayer. You pray for something. So you say, Lord, I need money. So what you do is when you get up from that place of prayer, and if all that you concentrate is and that God will meet all my needs according to His riches and glory, but all you hear is God will give me money, you know what you're looking for? Money. You're not looking for the Lord, you're looking for money. And when you don't see money, you figure He didn't answer your prayer. How many people have told you that? That God, they prayed and God did not answer their prayer. The thing is, they probably prayed and they probably prayed amiss. And he said, let that man that prays amiss not think that he's going to get anything from God. Because it is not men hearing what they ask God. It's men hearing what God... See, the Lord doesn't say that blesses the man, right? Blesses the man that hears what the Spirit of God is saying to the questions of the church, right? He says that the church would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. It's what He's saying to the church. It's not what He's answering to the church. It's what He's saying, right? So when we get used to hearing what He's saying, faith is just, it's going to be a natural thing, because you're looking for the Lord Jesus and that's who He wants to reveal to you. So if you program your heart to say, Father, you know what, as much, and I've done it gazillions of times, the Lord's trying to show me something and I want to go off and research something juicy over here. And He's like, you know what? That you're trying to go over there and look at, that's nothing right now. It's this right here. It's this right here. You don't have to go on the internet and try to figure out, you know, how tall the mountain was and the width of the mountain and how is it physically possible? Can men drill through the mountain or no? And what the limitations of the, you know, of men and how far they can drill into a mountain or how the wall of Jericho would have come down. That's all silly, dumb stuff. Just getting facts about how things are possible in this world will never bring us closer to Jesus, right? So if you knew no history about anything, right? That's all the better for you. Because the more history you know about a Jewish nation, the more you will look into the Word of God and think that He's trying to teach you customs, right? When it's the exact thing He's trying to take you out of, not further into, right? You could know nothing of Jewish custom, know nothing of what they've ever done or what anything stands for, and you can still understand all the Word of God, because the one that you have and that needs to be revealed to you is just Jesus. You can know what the Lord means in the festival of first fruits and not understand why they do it today. You don't have to get, you know, somebody, I thought that I was getting something. Somebody gave me one time the book of Jews. Like everything that the Jews do. And it's never helped me even one time. Not even once has it ever helped me, right? So you know what's cool? It's just hearing. Listen, if we can leave today, if we can leave knowing this, faith in Jesus Christ is the center of everything that we do and everything that we want to happen in our life, right? And that only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing can only happen one way. Because it's so beautiful. Listen, I know just 5 minutes I'm taking you over, but look at what He said. He said that some hear, but they don't hear, right? But everybody knows that faith comes by hearing. But some hear and don't hear. And He teaches them in parables, because hearing, they don't hear. So there are people that think that they're having faith because they think they're hearing. But they're not hearing, right? Because what they're doing is searching the scriptures, so that's not called hearing. Hearing is to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Right? The word that never, because can you see the ironclad, let's just make that word up, right? Ironcladness, right? Can you see the ironcladness when God says that what I speak never returns to me void? That what He says, if you believe what He says, it's impossible for His will not to come to pass in your life. When you believe what He said. Now you can search the scriptures and make up promises and get all kinds of crazy stuff about why God's going to give you $1 million this year. But that doesn't mean that God said that. So hearing what God said, not what Joyce Meyer said or Joseph Prince or Andrew Womack or any preacher anywhere, right? But it's what God said. See, you can hear someone that is preaching a message and they think in their mind, for reason Z, and out of the same message, the Spirit of God can show you A over here, because I've been talking to you about this. And look at what I showed you, and here it is, right? So you may not have heard entirely what the supposed 3 points and a sermon was that guy had, right? But you heard what he said to you. And that's entirely more important, right? Because faith is everything to us, right? If the Christian does not have faith, he doesn't have anything. If the Christian does not have faith, he's living in unbelief. And in unbelief, you can never enter. You can never go in. And people wonder, you know, am I doing it right? I have to have more faith. And they beat themselves up and they so want to do the will of God and so want to have faith in Jesus. But isn't it interesting? They so want to have faith But even though they say faith in Jesus, the one that they look for when they open up their Bible is not Jesus. They're just looking for a fix. They're looking for something to give them an answer. Listen, isn't that true? That people open up their Bible and they're looking for answers to their questions. You know what we ought to be looking for? The voice of God. Not answers. Just His voice. When you're looking for an answer, so you just got a diagnosis from the doctor. So you're going to go and find all the verses on healing, right? But you're not even hearing what God is telling. You're just gonna open up an encyclopedia and you're going to get them all. And then you're going to start reading them all. But that doesn't mean faith comes from that, right? Because it's not. Faith comes from hearing. The Lord sees the disease on your body. But He knows that the problem that you have is an unforgiveness that's unrelenting and that you don't let go. Right? Because you haven't understood the forgiveness of God for you. You haven't understood how you were yet a sinner and He forgave your sin. We haven't understood forgiveness, so therefore we can't forgive like He forgave because we don't understand how He forgave. Right? And you can read all the verses you want about how by His stripes you were healed, and you won't understand the first thing about what a stripe is and why you're healed by it. Right? Because it's not what He's saying. Right? It's so important. Listen, we open our Bibles to find answers. And it's so wrong, right? Because we don't open our Bible to find answers. We open our Bibles, right, to hear what He's saying. You're not even opening up your Bible to know because you already know. It's already been given to you to know. You are already positioned for the will of God and you already know. So you've been positioned for the will of God and it's already been given to you to know. So what are we missing? Because if I know and I'm already, so I'm at the right place at the right time and I already know. So you know what you're missing? That you don't know you know. So all that you need is for the Lord to be able to go like this to your eyes. See it now? You're like, oh yeah, I see it now, right? That's called revelation. And only He can do that. Only He can go like that. Only He can wash your feet. Only He can take your eyeball, wash it, and put it back in your face, right? Only He can do that. And He's awesome at it. Because He knows exactly what you need to hear and how you hear. And He knows all that. I don't know how that works. I just know that He knows how to get to your mind. And your mind can be off over here. And somehow He takes it and goes like this. Poof, poof. I don't know how He does that. I don't know how you, because we said that it's our mind that does that quick. I just eat meat with rice and beans. And somehow I heard Him say, born of a woman. Right? Now, I would like to take credit for hearing born of a woman, but I didn't do that, right? He brought my attention to that, right? Like Moses, his attention was brought to that burning bush, right? He didn't go over there because he was curious about the bush. He went over there because the Spirit of God led him to go over there, right? It's just, you know what? We know nothing. We know nothing, but we know, here's what we know. We know that we're at the right place at the right time and that we have the mind of Christ. So that means that you do know. And even though we don't confess it, we do know. And when He opens up your eyes, you will begin to confess what you know. And when your mouth speaks, that means faith has come. Because faith is in your heart and in your mouth. That's the word of faith. So this will change too, even what you speak. Right? Don't try to be careful around other people. You're just working in the flesh. If you're trying to be careful what you say around other people, that's just the flesh working the word. So don't kid yourself, because you'll think you're doing something good. Watching your mouth and what you say around certain people, you'll think you're doing something good. Therefore, you will continue to do what you're doing because you think you're accomplishing and going somewhere. Yet you haven't even moved yet. Right? Just let Him do it. It's of no use. This thing. Can you just say this with me, and I promise we're going to close right here. Listen, it profits nothing. 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 It's of no use to us anymore. It's really of no use. But because you know why? Because you are born of Him now. You're born of God. So you know what He says? Use what I gave you. I gave you my Spirit. Walk that way.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295 4560. Thank you for listening.